Welcome, everybody. This is Jim, your host of the Bible Study Podcast. So excited to have you on today. I am so privileged and honored to be able to have my good friend, Greg French. He is going to be sharing the message today. So without any more delay, here is episode 43, Built to Last.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm really, really honored that you had invited me and asked me to be a part of your podcast. I'm really excited to share this message. You know, this is one of those messages that are like life messages that the Lord gives you, and that they just stick with you. And He gives a lot of revelation and illustration, and I really believe that this is going to bless a lot of people. So I'm excited to share it. But before I get into this message, I want to say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your message. We thank you for your love. We thank you, O God, for your heart of invitation, Lord, that you continue to invite people into fellowship with you, that you are a God that forgives sin, that you are a God of relationship and fellowship, that you are a God that desires, Lord, freedom in people's lives, freedom from sin, and, Lord, an abundant life of living in you and living for your glory. Lord, I pray as I share this message that you have placed in my heart, that your Spirit would minister to the hearts and the minds of all that hear it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So yes, the message I'll be sharing about today is titled Built to Last. Jesus is the ultimate builder. No one can outbuild Jesus. When we think about how beautiful the stars are in the sky and just all the different types of trees and all the different types of animals and the scenery that we get to see in the mountains and the oceans and the vast different types of fish there are and creatures in the ocean, and there's just beauty in nature all around us, and it was created by God the Father. It's all His intricate design, and just how complex everything is that He made, and yet how beautiful it is. It's just amazing. There's really no one that can compare in building like the Lord God. And even just to consider how amazing the stars are and how they burn with such fire, for such intensity, and for how long, mankind can never come close to ever producing anything in comparison to the sun or the stars or the power that the ocean has, that great, great power that all that water has in movement. Mankind will never come close in making things that compare. You know, I think about sometimes the cheap furniture that we get from Walmart or from IKEA, and you try to put it together and it doesn't fit right. The screws don't line up right. And, you know, I found myself going back to Home Depot multiple times to get different size screws because the packaging forgot the screws. And I don't know if any of you have been like that, had that struggle with building cheap furniture, or, you know, maybe you know someone that's just doesn't at all have the gift of building, and, you know, they bought a desk to build for their child, or they put it together and it looks like a bookshelf, you know. I just laugh about that. But I like to build. Building's fun for me. I grew up building Legos. I build for a living, and I just love it. But the Bible has a lot to say about building. And even so, Jesus gave us a very descriptive story about building and about how we build our lives. So we're going to turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 24 through 27. It's a pretty popular portion of Scripture, and I'm going to be reading this out of the New Living Translation. And it starts in verse 24. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So Jesus is speaking about building your life on the rock. You know, there's this show that I like to watch on the History Channel, and it's called Modern Marvels. And on this show, it talks about how people built just the amazing things in the world, like the Golden Gate Bridge or the Empire State Building and the Great Wall of China. And it goes into all this description and how things were engineered and built. Well, on this particular show, they were talking about things that weren't built correctly. And in the example of the show was this neighborhood in a place called Laguna Beach in California. It's just a beautiful neighborhood. It's on the hillside. Stuff you see on pictures and postcards. And this amazing neighborhood that had all these mansions lined up and down the street. They were built, but they weren't built attached to the rock. And there was a week of hard rain in the 80s. And all this rain, it started to weaken the soil that these houses were sitting on. And one day, the people were in their houses, and all of a sudden, their houses started to crack. And the people thought that there was an earthquake, being in California and everything. And so the people start running out of their houses, and they're describing how these huge 2-foot, 3-foot wide cracks were happening in their living room, their dining rooms, and their bedrooms, and the houses were falling apart, but it wasn't because of an earthquake. These million-dollar mansion houses were falling apart because after all that rain, it softened the ground and the soil, and the houses were collapsing because they were not built into the bedrock. And you just find that so interesting that on the outside, the week before all this rain, if you were to drive through this neighborhood and look at these wonderful houses, these amazing, beautiful houses, you would think nothing was wrong. You'd have thought everything was okay. But lo and behold, because they were not established on the rock, they were doomed. The day was coming that they would ultimately fail and fall and collapse. And we see this illustration, and it's so easy to see that in the same way that these houses were not built in the rock, that many people's lives are established the same way, not being built on the rock, not being built on the words that Jesus would instruct and teach us in how we live our lives. So while we live our lives, we build them. What we choose to do, what we choose to think, where we spend our time and energy and finances, we're building our lives upon these choices. So Jesus said that the rain would come, that the wind would come, and that floodwaters would come. Now, Jesus never promised us that life was fair, that life was perfect. He actually was very honest in saying that troubles will come in this world. And many of these troubles are like the rain. The rain will come, but you have time to prepare. Many times we could see the clouds getting dark, or you could look on your phone and look at the weather report and you know that there's a prediction of rain coming. So there's time to prepare for the rain. Many problems in life are like the rain. You have a little bit of time to prepare for it. But when the rain comes, you're surrounded by it. You don't know how long it's going to last. And you don't know how well you have prepared for the rain until it does come. You know, if you have problems with your roof, it's going to leak. Or if you left things outside that you didn't want to get rained on, or you left your car windows down, I know I've done that, and it gets rained on. Jesus also said that the wind would come. And many problems in life are like the wind. They come out of nowhere. There's no advance notice. There's no warning signs. They just come. They just show up. So many problems are like that. You didn't think that that would ever happen to you. But it showed up. Jesus said that the floodwaters would rise. Many problems in life really come at us like a flood. It rises up and the force is just incredible. The force that comes with a flood, all that water, all that pressure, it's just amazing how much force is in a flood. And it leaves you helpless. I remember the last few years we've had these terrible hurricanes that come up in the Gulf of Mexico. We had Hurricane Maria and Hurricane Irma. And you see the footage on the news of these people stranded up on the tops of the roof of their houses because the rainwaters came all the way up to the roof of the house. And people had their cars totally submerged. They had the trees were knocked over, businesses were flooded. Just how devastating a flood is. But many problems are like the floods. They leave you surrounded and helpless. You might be experiencing a rain type of problem in your life right now. Or you could be experiencing a wind type of problem in your life right now. You might even be in a flood type of problem right now. Jesus desires to build your life. Let him build your life. Jesus wants to be your life's construction company. I think of it as Christ's construction. You know, Jesus was a builder. We know that he was a carpenter. He built with wood and stone. And even in the natural, when he was here on earth, he knew how to build with natural resources. But you know, Jesus wants to build things in your life. What does he want to build in your life? You might be curious. You might be wondering, well, what would Jesus build in my life? Well, he lets us know what he wants to build in our lives. Stability, hope, faith. You know, he wants to build in your life the fruit of his spirit, his very own character in your life. Jesus wants to establish things in your life that you cannot establish on your own. You know, so many of us build our lives carelessly, just carelessly build. We see things in TV shows, or we see and hear things in music videos, and we just accept them because the culture accepts them. And we think that, oh, it's no big deal. I could join in that, or I could accept that thought or that idea. I could participate in doing these types of things. But yet that's careless building. The Bible teaches us that going through your life like that and building according to what others in society and culture and your own flesh, your own desires give to you, it's careless building. It's foolish. That's building on the sand. You know, there was a time a few years ago at the company I worked for, we built an addition onto our shop. And we have a pretty good sized building, but it was time for us to expand. We were getting more work, needed more room. So my company hired a construction company to come and start building an addition onto our building. And every day we'd watch them, just because we are builders. We build other types of things, but we were just always interested in what they were doing and how they were going to build the building. So we kind of kept a close eye on them to make sure they weren't cutting any corners or cheating anything. But anyways, so every day the construction company would come out and they would prepare in what they were going to build. They took soil samples of what type of ground it was going to be. They did all kinds of math and measurement and had to figure out how to build this addition so that it would be safe to support cranes and all kinds of heavy equipment. They did not build this addition on our building carelessly. It was very, very carefully built. The details were considered. Jesus Christ wants you to build your life with consideration to his teaching, to his heart's desire. that he would be the foreman of the details and choices that you make for your life. You know, the Bible teaches us that a way seems right unto a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And the Bible says that wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. See, anybody could build their life carelessly. It's easy to do. But Jesus said to build our lives on the rock. And who is the rock? He is the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. And he can support your life. He could sustain all your needs, all your desires. Jesus Christ can sustain you emotionally and financially and absolutely spiritually. A few months ago in the spring, I had a closet in my bedroom. I had it remodeled and turned into a half bath. And I wanted to do it myself, but I really didn't know every exact detail in the plumbing of how to add a half bath, because it's right next to my other bathroom. And I didn't want to make a mistake, because when you build something in your house, if you don't do it according to code and regulations, when the time comes that you want to sell your house, you'll have to rip it all out. So it becomes a huge waste of time and energy and money. And so I ended up hiring a plumber, a professional plumber, that knew exactly all the details to make the plumbing exactly how it needed to be. I did this so that what I built wouldn't be illegal, and so that when my bathroom was inspected and tested, it wouldn't be rejected. But many of us have been building things in our lives and been building our lives in a way that when the floods come, the rain come, and the winds come, things are going to collapse. You know, in verse 27, Matthew chapter 7, it says that the house fell. And have any of you ever seen a house fall or heard how loud it is when a building comes to collapse? It's so loud. And there's so much destruction associated with that. You know, sometimes we forget to think that how we are building our lives, it affects others. And I think about how a father is the head of a household and how the life that he's building is going to affect his family and his kids, his wife. And that if he isn't building according to what Jesus is instructing, he's building on the sand. And that when parts of that house begin to collapse because it's built on the sand, it affects not only this man, the father of the home, but it affects the children and his wife. It affects everyone. I think a lot of us have experienced collapsing when other people have built lives on the sand, built things in their life on the sand. And when the rain and the wind, but the floods came and it collapsed and it's affected us. Truth is built on the rock. The things that stand for eternity are built on the rock. Sin is built on the sand. It will always lead to destruction and chaos. Anything built on sand is guaranteed to fail. Absolutely guaranteed to fail. There's nothing to support it. The Lord God doesn't support sin in any way. He is constantly and consistently hostile towards sin. Now, when you think about building on the rock, you have to think that it's going to last. You know, I think about when they go to build a cabin, or you build things, it has to have a solid foundation. and what is built has to support the weight of the other parts of the house. So I see pillars being placed on the rock to support the things of your life. Pillars of truth, mercy, and forgiveness, honesty and integrity, and gratitude. Those are things that are worthy of building. And Jesus Christ can teach you how to build your life with those pillars. You know, life and its complexities and its challenges always has a way of testing everything we believe. And there is ultimately one storm that we must all be prepared for. And that is the storm of passing into eternity. Each one of us will have to face this storm. The Bible reminds us that it's appointed unto man one time to die, that the time and the day will come that we all must pass into eternity. And the only way you can be prepared for this is if you establish your life on the rock, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us in the book of Isaiah that He is the cornerstone, that He is worthy of building your life on, that His standards are flawless, and that the Bible says that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again. We must be rebuilt. We must be reborn. Jesus said, repent, repent and believe. Jesus Christ offers every single person to be prepared for this storm. And that if you would repent of your sin, ask God for forgiveness. Ask Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Commit unto Him your life, that He will come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, make you a new creation, and bring forth the abundant life that He desires you to live. A new way of living your life. But it has to start with repentance. That is where we meet Jesus Christ, is in repentance. So I just want to invite you that if the Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart as you've heard this message, if you have been building parts of your life in the sand, if you've been building your whole life in the sand, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that I give you this invitation now that you could receive Him into your heart as Lord and Savior and start building your life on the rock. I'm going to say this prayer. And if you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ, you can do it today. Just repeat after me as I say this prayer. Heavenly Father, I see that I am a sinner. I have been building my life on the sand. I have rebelled against You and Your word. I am a sinner, and I need Your forgiveness. I thank You, God, that You offer me forgiveness. Lord, I receive Your gift of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. I repent. I ask that You would change me, that You would forgive me, that You would make me new. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Guide me. Lead me. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ, You died on the cross to pay for my sins, to offer me a new life, an everlasting life. I receive Your gift today. Come into my heart. Now just let him come. Just let the Spirit of God fill your heart. The Bible teaches us that when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, that you are a new creation. That God no longer sees you as an enemy of His, but now He sees you as a child, His child, a son or a daughter. That you are forgiven for all of your shame and all of your sin. That He has separated your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. That you are free. That you no longer are a slave to sin. And now you can start building your life on the rock. I just want to celebrate you with you today. If you said this prayer for the first time and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I wish I was there to give you a big hug. And I'm just so happy at your decision today. You know, the Bible teaches us that heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. That there is a celebration in heaven because of your choice and commitment to receive Jesus Christ. Now, as you go about the rest of your day and the rest of your week, I encourage you to find a Bible-believing church, to go to church this Sunday and grow in your faith and let God to transform you and to change you into who He wants you to be. I thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I thank everyone for that's listening out there, and I pray that the Lord will bless you and that you have a great day. Thank you.